Hello, everybody, and welcome to All Sports Best. I'm Trey Gonzalez, and I'm very, very excited. And if you've talked to me before this podcast comes out, you would know that I've been excited for this podcast for about a week now. I've got Julian Griffith on the line. Julian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and yourself, man?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited, man. I told you this. I've told other people. You had a very large role on the movie Hardball. I talked to some people. A lot of them found themselves very emotionally invested in that movie, and for a very good reason. It was an outstanding movie,
very successful,
and of course you did a great job in it. But we're gonna start back from your roots and kind of where you got started. So, Julian, where'd you grow up?
I actually grew up on the west side of Chicago in Bellwood, a little suburb right outside of the city. Raised by a single mom. I'm an identical twin. I have an identical twin brother. He was actually my double in the movie, but we can get to that
really
later. Yes, he was my double.
That's cool.
I grew up in Bellwood. You know, I was in the city a lot when my mom worked for Chicago Public Schools. You know, and started playing baseball when I was seven, so I got started pretty early.
Okay.
With it, you know.
Yeah. So you still are involved in baseball. We are going to get into that a little bit more. But
yes.
I wanted to know kind of like how old you were when you auditioned for the movie, how that got started, and when you even – like how did you even find out about the audition in the first place?
Okay, well, I started going on auditions when I was 3 years old.
Really?
So before I actually started playing baseball.
So did you have a choice in this?
Yes and no. My mom got us into it, like I said, at 3 years old. My brother and I actually caught the chicken pox at the same time. Mm. As ironic as that sounds, as identical twins. And she started submitting us to agents, and we started doing a lot of print ads, or you know, the little children you'll see in your school books and stuff like that.
Sure.
I used to do all of that stuff before I actually got my first acting role.
Wow.
And the audition came about, one of my mom's friends actually heard about it on the radio, and they were having an open casting call. And I had already been on auditions for films and TV shows, but I hadn't booked any of those yet, just still print ads, you know.
Okay.
And my mom's friend, since he heard on the radio at Evergreen Plaza Mall, they're having auditions, they're looking for black baseball players.
Hmm.
So, you know, we're going, you know, and I was very shy as a kid. You know, I'm very, like, you can't tell, you know, because I've been acting, but I'm very shy. So,
okay.
I was, at least. And so, you know, we go down there, it's 10,000 kids at this mall.
Jeez.
No exaggeration. It was 10,000 kids that auditioned for this movie. And, you know, they were like, they're looking for the black kids that play baseball to be on the baseball teams. And starring Keanu Reeves. Like, I didn't even know who Keanu Reeves was.
Really? Did your mom know?
I think she kind of knew because The Matrix came out in 1999.
Okay.
So it was a year before we did it.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I hadn't seen The Matrix yet. And so that's a whole nother story. When I met Keanu, I didn't even know it was him. They had to point him out to me. Yeah, but I'm like, that ain't Keanu. They like, yes, it is. You ain't seen The Matrix? I'm like, no, not yet.
Right,
don't
right.
tell him that.
Maybe he doesn't look like a star necessarily.
Oh, very relaxed and humble, just natural
cool.
dressing, doesn't do too much. But yeah, so. Go to that mall, man. I'm sitting there for hours. It's like I said, thousands of kids there. And, you know, this particular time, they grouped us up. And I don't remember any of the other guys that actually got cast
uh-huh.
being in my group, I don't think. But, you know, I go in and I read that audition. You know, the audition piece was actually the essay that I gave in the classroom.
Oh, okay.
About the Banditos and all that.
Yeah,
so that was my audition piece. And this particular time, I get done with audition. You know, usually if you audition, you do an audition. They say, thank you, you know, we'll be in touch. And that's it. But this particular time, they were like, hey, can you wait right here for a minute?
Really?
Like, yeah. and they were like, okay, this is our acting coach. We want you to, he's going to work with you. We want you to look in this mirror, and we want you to look at your facial expressions while you read this, and we want you to practice it with him. And then the director wants you to come back in and do it again. So I was working with them, still in this mall, all these kids around. I'm just standing in front of a mirror, practicing my lines. And I go in, they gave me my same spiel, you know, thank you, we'll be in touch. You know, next thing you know, I got a call back. And long story short, I think I had six or seven auditions for it. And the last time, and actually my brother and I both were up for the role.
Okay.
And then I'm the person who actually was originally casted for the role, and I beat out the other kids who auditioned for Jefferson, but he also had four different name changes too. His name wasn't even Jefferson at first, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but
that's crazy.
The last audition, like I said, I was shy. I didn't even want to go in. Dang. My mom forced me to go in. So when you said, did I really have a choice? You know, that particular, I was shy. I'm like, she's like, you got to go in, Julian. This is your sixth audition. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go. And she's like, why? You know, and I'm like, all these people are just sitting in the room and they're just looking at you. And, you know, like they don't say anything. And they're just staring. And so she calls my dad up. My dad's on the road. He was a truck driver at the time.
Okay.
Calls him up. He's trying to persuade me. He's like, boy, you better go. And my dad was he was in the Army. And he was very military. So he's like, boy, you better get in that audition. I'm like, no, I'm not going. So my mom, back then, Pokemon cards were very popular.
Okay.
I don't know how old you are.
No, but, I'm the same, yeah.
Yeah, so Pokemon cards are very popular. My mom bribed me and was like, Julian, if you go in there and do this audition, I'll give you $20. And like my brother pokes his head from the side of the van we had. It was like, Julian, do you know how many Pokemon cards we can get for $20?
The persuasion back then.
Hey, you know what's so funny? I never got that $20.
Really?
From my mom, yeah.
Have you even asked her about them?
I brought it up before. I was like, you know, I'm like, Mom, you remember you bribed me to go in that audition and told me I'd get $20? And she's like, oh, yeah, I did say that. I'm like, I never got it. She's like, well, you got paid a lot more than $20, don't you think?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. But, yeah, so I went in there, and I did that last audition. And they were like, hey, we want to take a group picture. And my mom was like, oh, this is different.
Right.
I mean, they've never asked you to take a group picture. I'm like, yeah, so I took a group picture. Still not thinking anything of it. I still don't think I got it. And
right.
One Saturday morning, my mom wakes me up. It was like, somebody's on the phone for you. And it was Claire Simon, our casting director. She was like, Julian, you got the role. And,
wow.
You know, the rest is history. It was a long spring and summer before we started filming, just practicing and sitting in the house when I wanted to go outside and play to memorize that script. So,
wow. So what'd you tell your friends? I mean, obviously, when you go into a movie, there's no way of knowing if it's going to be a hit. There's no way of knowing if it's going to be a classic, that matter. But, you know, when you're staying at home, working on your lines, you know, practicing, what do you tell your friends? Oh, you know, I'm working for this movie and, you know, leave me alone?
I was pretty excited to tell them. I didn't have to really say too much because, you know, it's not that big of a deal to people until the movie's actually out, you know what I mean? So when I told them I was working on it, I didn't really have to tell. I mean, I mentioned it, but, you know, we filmed in the latter parts of the summer. And so when the beginning of the school year, I was only at school on Mondays. And I had an on-set tutor Tuesday through Friday. So we still had to do school on set. But Monday was used to go and get our homework. And then we would work with that tutor.
Okay.
So, you know, they knew I was missing. They're like, man, Julian didn't get to miss school Tuesday through Friday.
Right.
You know, 10 years old. I'm like, you know, they're like, Julian, we didn't see you at home today. Oh, I stayed at my hotel downtown. The driver came and picked me up. Like, if my mom didn't stay on set with me, I had a driver that would pick me up every day from my hotel. And I had a hotel downtown, even though I lived 15, 20 minutes from the set.
Okay.
But I had a hotel that I could stay in if I wanted to.
Dang, that's crazy. So at what point did you decide that it was okay to start wearing shades inside at that age? I'm just kidding.
What's so funny? I've never done the shade thing, but the first time I knew that I was pretty, I'm kind of popular. Right. And like, you know, have a recognizable face. I went to the movies at, I think, 12 years old, 11. After the movie came out, my aunt hadn't seen it yet. And I had already seen it at the premiere and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I kind of cheated because they had a screening before the premiere in LA. Oh. And I went.
Were you not allowed to?
They didn't want us to, but it wasn't a penalty for going. You know what I mean?
Right,
it was just, I did though. I went though. So like everybody sitting there watching the movie for the first time at the premiere, and I'm like, oh, I already seen this. I know what happens, you know. But
right.
I didn't spoil it for anybody. But yeah, I went to the movies, and you know, after the movies, I'm sitting there and the credits are rolling, and my aunt's like, you know, it's a really good movie. Oh my God. And, you know, this is not even a year since the movie has been out. And like, all of a sudden, like, these people start recognizing my face and like, you were Jefferson. You were the one that was in the movie.
Right.
You know, I got chased out of a movie theater, chased around the mall at like 12, 13 years old.
Dang.
And, you know, one girl actually, when I knew I kind of made it as a, you know, as for a kid status, one girl, my mom made me sign autographs, mm-hmm. and I didn't really feel like it that day. Cause you know, we have our moments where we just not really up for it, you know? And yeah. you know, when you in that type of media attention or limelight, you're making somebody else's day, you know? So
right.
you got to keep that in mind when you do these type of things. And, you know, I didn't want to sign autographs. They chased us out the mall and the movie theater. Like, my mom had to pull the van around and catch us and pick us up. So, she's like, sign autographs for these. It was a whole group of girls, too. So, my mom's like, sign autographs for those girls. I'm like, I don't feel like, Mom, it's late. She's like, if you don't sign autographs, these are fans, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, she made me sign my actual headshots, and my headshots had my resume printed on the back, and it had my phone number on it. But I blacked it out with a black permanent marker, and somehow this girl put it up to the light
and got
my phone number. Yes, and I didn't even have a cell phone at this time, so she was calling my house phone.
Dang.
And like blowing up my phone. I remember her name, but I'm not going to say it because she might end up hearing it. She might live in New Mexico or something.
That's crazy, though.
I'm just joking.
No, and this is cool because, I mean, like, obviously, without actually experiencing it yourself, you would never know, you know, the links that people go just to find out more information about you, really.
Oh, man, big time, dude. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So you got to tell me, man. I mean, I want to know a little bit, you know, behind the scenes. How was the cast? Obviously, you said you met Keanu Reeves, a cool guy. You got to work with, you know, Michael B. Jordan, Skee-Lo, right?
Skee-Lo.
From Ridiculousness. I mean, you talk to some guys that are still acting, still on TV quite often.
Yeah, the cast was pretty good. You know, we bonded pretty quickly. I was exactly like my role, so I didn't curse or anything.
Oh,
like,
okay.
And I had asthma for real in real life.
Okay.
So it was easy for me to do that role. you know, it was very interesting because, like I said, because I was shy, I had to really get out of my comfort zone and my myself. And we were all new to acting, so like we were learning as we went along, you know, all of us. So Keanu, great person. I talked to him like every day when I was on set. If the other guys hear this, I'm sure they heard it from him. Like I was his favorite. Like he said that.
But, really?
Yeah, I was his favorite. But that's neither here nor there. But I talked to him every day, and we just try to glean from people as much as possible, you know, as much as a kid can take in and actually understand, you know.
Sure.
So everybody was, you know, pretty cool. Most of us were from Chicago except for Michael B. and Andre, who was played by Brian Hearn. They were both from New York and New Jersey. So
okay.
The rest of us were from Chicago. And we had never met each other before then. So,
okay.
You know, it was pretty it was a pretty good experience. We had to go through all those acting techniques and trainings together to really get this together. And it was a grind, man, on that set. You know, 10 hours a day.
Jeez.
8 or 10 hours. I think it was 10, but some of it was school as well. So you have to balance that schoolwork and those lines, man, and just night shoots. You know, my first thing I filmed was me getting jumped. My first time filming, that was the first time I stayed up to anything past 6 a.m. And I filmed from 10 a.m. or 10 p.m., 9 or 10 p.m. to like 5, 6 a.m. in the morning.
Jeez.
My very first time filming.
So you said it was when you were getting jumped, so that was at the apartments area, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Wow.
So it was, and that was my stomping grounds. I was from the West Side. And so a lot of people who were out there as extras in the background and stuff, my mom might have taught them. A lot of them knew my mom. And actually, the dudes who jumped me, my mom used to teach them.
Really?
Yeah.
So did they take it easy on you? How did that even happen? I mean, obviously, it's somewhat fake, but, I mean, you got to sell it a little bit, right?
Yeah. It's a stunt double on when I actually got stumped. I did everything standing up, like the fake punch and everything.
Okay.
But it was a stunt double. A guy that was not far in height from me.
Okay, so you got to tell me. You mentioned that your brother was your double as well.
Yes.
What did he do in that kind of setting? Because obviously you did all of the main things, talking. Right?
Yes.
You did the talking. Okay. So what did he do?
He was pretty. He did a lot of my stuff that I didn't talk or far away shots. He couldn't do as much baseball like they were trying to get him to do. Because he's left-handed and I'm right-handed, so we're mirror image twins. And he went and he did those parts for me where, like I said, I didn't talk. And he you can actually see him when I got thrown out at second base when they zoom in on the face. That's him.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go back and just rewatch that area. Yeah, that's cool though. But you know, it kind of stumps me a little bit. Why do they choose to use a double in those times? Were you sitting there watching it, or were you busy doing other roles?
I watched. You talking about with my brother or with the actual stunt double?
With your brother.
No. If my brother, the doubles usually come in when we don't have to say much, or it's a wide angle, and we're usually in tutoring or something, getting our homework done,
or
lunch or something like that.
Okay, kind of just a break type of deal.
Yeah, and where they don't have to overuse us, you know, when they don't need to. So, because we don't, like I said, as a minor, you only can work, I think, 8 or 10 hours a day.
Yeah, dang, that's crazy. Do you still keep in touch with some of these guys? I mean, do you?
Yeah, I still keep in touch with Kofi, G Baby.
Okay.
Chris Lofton at times. That's the one that's on HBO Ballers
right now. Okay.
I don't keep in touch with Michael B. or Sterling. That's a little more different type of story.
Oh, really?
I can just tell you. I can tell you outside the podcast.
Okay, I got you.
But I keep in touch with them. I keep in touch with Andre, and I keep in touch with Ray Ray, the catcher. Uh-huh. I keep in touch with his parents. Actually, unfortunately, about in like 2011, I want to say, 2010, there was a shooting at a college, and he was one of the people who got shot in his back.
Really?
And he's paralyzed right now.
And
he's had seizures where he doesn't remember. So like when I actually seen him for the first time since I was like 13, two summers ago. Mm-hmm. And it was very emotional because we couldn't reminisce on anything because he didn't remember.
Oh man.
He didn't remember me. His mom shows him the DVD and stuff, but he doesn't remember.
Oh man, that's rough.
You know, so he knows me from the DVD because his mom told him, like, you know, that's you did the movie together. He's like, man, you look different now, you know. And you know, it's sad, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just tell people, keep him lifted up in prayers. Hopefully he gets better. It's been a while. He has a live-in nurse and everything. So
okay.
prayers out to his family. And he was actually a twin too.
Really? So that's actually a big perk in the acting world, right? To have a double that's identical?
Yes.
Okay, okay. You got to tell me some of the benefits of being on this big movie behind the scenes. Obviously, you said you had the driver, you had the hotel, you got to meet some new friends. You know, you guys had really good chemistry on camera. I'm not sure, you made it sound like you guys were pretty good friends off camera as well. But was there a spread there? Did they hook you up with some good, you know, good eating and good scenes? I mean, what did they do for you outside of the actual work?
Oh man, the food was always good. You have a personal assistant and everything. That if I needed water or something to drink, she was right there to provide it. Catering, craft services was always amazing. One of my mom's friends was one of the caterers. And that's how she met him on set. And so the food was always good. Like, they never disappointed. That's one thing you could always look forward to when you're on set. Dang. You know, the food is A1, you know. So the other perks, you know, Screen Actors Guild, you get your residuals, of course, you know. Still get those every 3-4 months.
Really?
So that's definitely
From it, like, airing on... benefit. Is it from airing, like, on different channels every now and again?
Yes.
Wow.
International, they still have pay-per-view overseas.
Okay.
So they still have to pay for it.
Dang.
So and like I said, the attention when you, it's very, it gives you a lot of adrenaline when you first get it. And then, you know, you get it like, okay, all right, you know, I don't feel like talking about it today or, you know, something like, you know, so it just depends, man. You really have your days, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you get to keep us like a copy, like a personalized, you know, special edition of the movie itself, or have a shadow box of any sort?
They gave us like tapes of our premiere, some of the premiere interviews. We had a VHS of it.
Oh, wow.
and then we bought the DVDs as well. And I got one, I actually have one of the two of the original Harbaugh cast chairs because my cousin was actually one of the prop masters on set. And he actually grabbed two of them for us. And so I have those.
You had a lot of connections.
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you get to keep the jersey? Did you get to keep any of the stuff you wore on set or anything like that?
No. Only thing I got to keep were my practice cleats. They kept all of that stuff because we actually are under contract for 1, 2, and 3. It just never happened. So they had to keep that stuff just in case, you know, we did a 2 and a 3.
Wow.
So, no, I didn't. I think I have... the cleats and I think some old baseball pants.
That's cool.
I think that's about it.
Okay. Yeah. So after, you know, watching the movie, you got to watch it at the screening. You got to watch the premiere. You went and watched it after that. You've seen it since then. And of course, like I said before, a lot of people that I talked to got very emotional after watching that movie. Did you ever get that? I mean, obviously you knew what was going to happen and things like that, but did you kind of feel at that moment what everybody else felt? I mean, because it's very similar to like a Remember the Titans when you get that feeling, you know, your chest starts to tighten up. You're like, man, I don't want to cry in front of my friends, but.
Yeah, no, actually, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't because I knew, like you said, you know, because I kind of knew. So I couldn't really, I got emotional, I guess, a little bit. But because I knew the people, and I'm like, hey guys, he's still alive. Like,
right.
You know, it hit me, you know, in that manner. So, I wasn't too emotional when it came to it. And I wasn't that type of emotional kid either. So,
okay.
I had to learn that.
Yeah. And that's funny that you say that too, because I think a lot of people watching that movie are, you know, they're so set in the movie itself, they're thinking, this really happened. This is awful. You know?
Yeah.
But
I mean, we did a good job.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Julian, you went on to play baseball for real after the movie. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what your mom said about you wanting to continue pursuing acting, and then what you actually decided to do instead?
Well, at 13 years old, I was getting a lot of auditions, man. Like, I can name movies that y'all have seen, and you'll be like, what, you got auditions for that? Yeah.
Dang.
Like, Gridiron Gang with The Rock.
Sure. Wow.
The DN, Madlock that couldn't read. They made me audition for him. I'm only 5'10". Huh. But when and that dude was like 6'4". And mind you, when you do something in acting or Hollywood, you get typecast. So it was assumed that I would get older, I would still be big, but I would just get taller.
Okay.
And so a lot of the roles I got were all fat, chubby roles. So I had that one. Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton.
Sure.
The chubby white kid in that movie was supposed to be a black kid originally.
Mm.
And I auditioned for that, had 3 auditions. I thought I was going to get it, and then they switched and made it, gave it to that kid. Fat Albert.
Mm-hmm.
I auditioned for the role of Fat Albert.
Oh, of the actual role.
Yes.
So like, the one that Keenan got.
Yes.
Okay.
He was perfect for that role. He was perfect. But,
yeah, he was good.
I'm like, why am I auditioning for this? But they wanted me to audition anyway. What other ones? Keke Palmer, The Long Shots with Ice Cube. It was a football movie about a girl quarterback.
Hmm.
I auditioned for one. It was supposed to be a basketball movie originally. And I auditioned for a chubby basketball kid, and but they put that movie on the shelf, which means that they scrapped it, and then it came out with The Long Shots and made it a football movie.
Wow. So there's a lot of things that go on that we never know about. Did you get to meet any other extra, you know, celebrities outside of your movie because of what you did?
Oh yeah, Ice Cube. I danced with Gabrielle Union at my premiere. What else?
Don't say that too loud. Dwayne Wade's gonna hear.
I know, right? I know. I don't want to get my Jimmy Butler on or nothing.
True.
I met Pharrell.
Okay.
I met Cedric the Entertainer, Queen Latifah, Eve, Lil Wayne, Bow Wow. You know, jeez, the list goes on.
That's cool.
I was on the set of the Roll Bounce. I met Nick Cannon.
Oh.
Cleo Thomas, the dude that played Zero on Holes.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with him.
Absolutely.
Who else I had? Marcus, the guy who played Moesha's brother, if you ever seen Moesha.
Okay.
And then Megan Good. I actually had talked to her on the phone like 2 times before I met her in person, because my mom's friend was like cool with her.
Wow.
So I met a decent amount of people. You know, Eve actually, she started a conversation with me. I was, you know, she was like, come here, cutie. Hey, I'm like, oh, snap. Okay, what's going on, Eve?
I'm going to be over here.
Right. I think I was like 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They were filming Barbershop here in Chicago.
Okay.
And I met her. And so, you know, I mean, I met a decent amount of people. Lil Wayne, he recognized me from the movie. I was on a set of one of his music videos.
And, oh, cool.
He was like, hey, Hardball, come here. He didn't know my name. He's like, hey, Hardball, come here.
Wow.
And he was like, let's take a picture. And so I took a picture of Lil Wayne. That was how I met him.
Wow. What was the song? Do you remember what the song was?
It was some song with R. Kelly. R. Kelly was on set. It was like a beat, so I forgot. It was so long ago. R. Kelly was on set. It was, you know, Manny Fresh, all of those, you know, Cash Money guys.
Right.
From back in the day, were there. But I might have looked that song up. That's a good question. I gotta figure that out.
That's cool. But, that's so cool.
Yeah, so I met a good amount of people.
Yeah.
Good amount of people.
So you went on to play baseball for real. You went on to play in college, and then even further than that. Can you tell us a little bit about your career?
Yeah, so I, you know, took that break, pursued baseball, was pretty good in high school, was the best at my high school, actually. Got a couple scholarship offers, and, you know, I didn't get drafted like I wanted to. I was signed as a free agent when I had a little White Sox attention they I was making film for them, and I tore my UCL and had Tommy John.
Really?
So, yeah. So that was the, I was already at a small school, so you know, it was kind of like they're like, oh, no thanks, you know.
Right.
With that, you know, so. Yeah, so I went on to play college ball, D2, and then I transferred NAIA, finished up. And I signed 3 professional contracts, one in Texas with the Fort Worth Cats. I played with Julio Franco.
Oh, cool.
He was 56 years old when he came back and played with us.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Who else? Then I signed a contract in Washington in the Mount Rainier, and that league, like, folded. They ran out of money.
Oh.
Like, in, like, a week.
Dang.
And then, yeah, it wasn't marketed well. And then I signed a contract to play in Detroit, the United Shores, and then I played in Puerto Rico a little bit against their AA competition. So okay. I was around a good amount. And so, you know, it was a blessing nonetheless.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and a lot of people can't do that. I mean, you have people with, you know, pro aspirations, but they don't, you know, make it out of high school or they go to college and then they kind of fizzle out. So that is a huge accomplishment in the sport itself. Obviously.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you you still keep up with sports like that? You still keep up with baseball? You're actually involved in softball as well. You coach and you have a teaching license and all that stuff. So you're still around the sport like crazy.
Yes, I am a baseball and softball instructor out of a facility out here in the South Suburbs. I don't coach at a school. I do more instructional and group and camp trainings. And
okay.
I coach a fall ball high school team out of my facility. But, I grew to love the instructional part of it. You know, that's just the teacher quality in me. Outside of the fact, it also pays well. And I love reach. I love the outreach. You know, the kids I get to connect with are a blessing. I work from all ages, 7 to college, you know. So, actually 6 years old. I have a 6-year-old.
Damn, that's cool.
So it's a great experience. I like to mentor because I do a lot of public speaking when I can and go out to teams and organizations and schools and kind of give them an example of what it's like to be successful and not what you – it don't always have to be what you see on TV, you know.
Yeah.
Our younger generation has this stigma that the only way you're successful is if you end up on TV or you're playing professional sports. And it's like, you know, I try to show them, like, hey, teachers are the ones who pave the way for you, who give you every tool you have and, you know, yeah, everything what you really need to be successful in life. And, you know – They see the flashy cars and everything, so that's what all these kids want, and you can't blame them.
No.
However, they don't realize the hard work. The people don't show you the behind the scenes of everything they got to do to keep that stuff or get it.
Sure.
You know, and you know, like I drive a Corvette, so it's kind of like, yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm like, I can drive around with nice cars. I got nice cars. You don't have to be all in the media's attention to, you know, have nice things. And
right.
I'm like, you know, so and I give them that example. And They're excited when they hear I play pro ball and I'm a professional actor and all this. So yeah, when I've got my foot in different things, it's motivation for them to realize, okay, all right, I don't have to be on TV. I don't have to play pro sports. But if that's my ultimate goal, I'd never deter you away from it, though.
No way. So. Yeah. And it's kind of nice to see and hear from somebody that, you know, has a, you know, multiple trades. You can do a few different things, so they don't just see themselves as, you know, one person, and if it doesn't work out, then they're nothing, you know? So
absolutely.
That's really cool. So you also do not just, how is it teaching softball? You know, what is it like? I mean, it's gotta be a little different, right?
Oh yeah. It was definitely, I had to learn. I don't teach softball. I teach more. I train them in hitting and throwing. I'm the only catching instructor at my facility. So I teach all of the catchers there, period. I have a lot of, actually had last year, believe it or not, I had more softball clients than I did baseball.
Mm.
It was a lot more girls that their parents wanted them. They saw how some of my girls could hit and my catchers were, they're like, oh, we need this. My daughter needs this. You
That's
know,
cool.
And, you know, it's different. I don't teach pitching. Everything, the only thing that's different literally is just the motion of pitching. Other than that, All that slapping and all that stuff, I don't teach that. I just teach you, I'm going to teach you to drop the ball.
Right,
and
right.
teach you to make solid contact and consistent contact then.
Cool.
And quality catchers. So it's easier now for me to do it. But it was definitely an adjustment to be made. I was listening to a lot of instructors at the facility who taught softball already.
Yeah.
To learn though. So
how did you start your traveling sports training company that, you know, is still kind of up and going?
Well, actually, I haven't done the traveling yet. I'm trying to. Right now, I'm still out of the facility. Ultimately, the reason I got the idea was because a couple teams from like Texas, a couple other teams in like deep Illinois reached out to me on social media and was like, you know, hey, I love your training videos and we would love for you to come train our kids. And, you know, I'm like, man, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
I'm like,
no kidding.
If I can work with teams and, you know, go to different states and take my training methods, because I have a lot of advanced training, and if I can take that into other organizations in different states, you know, that's ultimately what I want to do, because, you know, I don't want, you know, I love training my kids that I have now, but it's like, you know, I want everybody to be successful. I don't want to limit, you know, myself, and I don't want to limit the other kids who might deserve to have some of that type of training, you know? So,
right.
I got that idea like last year, and I was like, let me start trying to pursue that, because I want to be an entrepreneur anyway, and it's nothing wrong with owning your own business. It's actually way better. So,
yeah,
you know, so that's ultimately what it was. I wanted to just reach a bigger market. In my training and my mentorship, so I'm trying to start a non-for-profit as well, tutoring and mentoring for the kids in high school. And I got a lot of my mom's friends who are retired teachers to help with the tutoring and everything like that. So I'm trying to get all that together. Like I want it to be something that is bigger than baseball or softball, bigger than any other sport. Using these sports to teach life qualities to these, you know, to these children and teenagers. So that's ultimately the way I look at it.
Definitely. Awesome, man. Yeah, and I was also wondering, because you mentioned it as well, that you still act. You started acting recently again and yes. are kind of getting back into it. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I started getting back into acting actually at like 20 when I tore my UCL and my elbow. I got cast for a TV pilot that ended up, I got screwed out of my money. I'm not going to bring them up because they might hear it too, but... it's all love. I try not to bash anybody, but but I was one of the leads in a TV pilot, and I took a major pay cut doing it. And I was going against, you know, union wages and all that type of stuff because it was a Christian oriented film. I mean, TV show. And I'm like, oh, they got a good message. I like that. And they didn't pay me for the first two episodes. So I dropped out of it, and then it flopped. So I started back then. I had a lot of auditions. I got a lot of blue collar and, like, you know, it still do at times get a lot of the stereotypical auditions. I could have been on a lot of stuff. I'm not going to mention, like I said, the names just because I don't want to do it. But it was just certain things that I just wasn't comfortable with as far as the roles that they particularly wanted me to play. And, it was just, you know, thank you.
Right.
I know, it's something better, you know, whether it was just blue collar. I'm like, I want a name. Like, why do I got to keep auditioning for Thief Number One or Thug Number Two? And I'm like, I'm like, you ain't never seen an intimidating thug who was light skinned on TV, first of all. So I'm like, that's not going to work.
Funny.
I'm just like, I want... some, you know, I wanted more roles. I was trying to pinpoint roles that show my comedic side, because a lot of people, if you only knew me from Hardball, of course, they wouldn't know how goofy I really am and how into comedy I am. And so,
yeah.
You know, I was trying to get more of those roles and more roles to be taken seriously, to get out of that typecast of, you know, Jefferson. And So I did Chicago PD as well. I did an episode last year.
That's cool.
Season 4. I actually have another episode coming out, season 6, episode 3. That's going to air in October. Ooh. So I have that coming out. I filmed that last month.
I'll keep an eye out.
So yeah, so I'm slowly getting up there, getting back up there, and doing what I got to do. It's always a grind. It's a long road, man, but you got to be persistent with it. So
yeah.
So you know, I'm also slated to do another TV pilot. I can't disclose the name yet, cool. But I'm, you know, in the market to do that. Whenever it officially starts, I'm not sure, but it's supposed to start this year in Chicago. So I got a couple things. I do theater as well. So I'm keeping it up there, trying to get enhance my skills and get my acting chops together and just get more in tune and polish up.
For sure, man. Hey, Julian, I really appreciate you for being on the show. It was great to hear about your story. It's great to hear about what you've done since the movie and all of that stuff that's going on. I really do wish you the very best, man. Any last words before we go?
Well, everybody can definitely subscribe to my YouTube channel. I put up videos and skits and stuff. My name on there, ironically, is Hardballman25. Don't ask me why. It's been the name since I created my YouTube back as a teenager. Hardballman25 on YouTube. I'm Juiced Up, all one word, on Instagram. And you can always just look up my name, Julian Griffith, on Google, and it usually puts all my social media accounts on there. It's not hard to find me, unfortunately. And just I do music as well. My brother is already pursuing his music career. I got a couple of things that's going to come out. So I got my hands in everything. And be on the lookout for my traveling training company coming to a city near you, hopefully. You know, so
absolutely, man. If you can send us a link, we'll share it out for you as well. And like I said before, I wish you the very best of luck in your future endeavors, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Hey guys, don't forget to share, like, and subscribe.